This is the Friday, July 24th, 2015 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Major foreign buyers finding better prices elsewhere and good weather across the U.S. all helped push the grain market lower. For the week, September wheat fell 42 cents, while the nearby corn contract was off 28 cents. Soybeans continued their downward spiral as good weather and cheaper foreign product pressured the August contract almost 24 cents lower. Nearby meal prices followed suit and moved $6.30 lower per ton. In the softs, December cotton dropped for the fourth week in a row, losing 58 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures rose 37 cents. The livestock sector remained mixed as the August cattle contract lost $3.62, August feeders retreated by $5.52, and the August lean hog contract went against the flow, rising just over $2. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index fell a little more than 0.5%. Crude oil continued its downward slide, closing $3.07 per barrel lower. COMEX gold followed suit with a loss of $46.30 per ounce, and the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index declined more than 15 points to settle at $3.87 even. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
And we are glad to have you. I wish it was on a more upbeat day for a lot of America's grain and oilseed producers.
Yeah, it's been a tough week across the grains. We've seen corn, wheat, soybeans all take a hit, cattle, hogs. It's been tough. All commodities, not all, but most of the commodities, coffee, cotton, the grains, the livestock, have all been hit. The metals have been hit. Crude oil has been hit. And this may be a symptom of this Chinese flu. We know that they're having all kinds of economic problems. We know that exports have been cut dramatically. And without that China engine building into the commodities markets, the commodity markets over the last 3 or 4 years have been a result of the Chinese demand. Without that, now we're seeing the other side of that. So we've seen a lot of pressure in these markets.
And speaking of pressure, let's talk about this wheat market. Down over a dollar in 3 weeks. Are we getting close? Is the bottom in sight, do you think?
I'm not quite so sure. I believe sometime after the first of the month, we'll see some kind of bounce in here, maybe towards as we get to the August 12th report. But in the meantime, we've got the strong dollar, historically very high. We've got plenty of competition. When you see Mexico bringing in French wheat, you know that there's a lot of wheat around the world, let alone Egypt continuing to buy from Russia in the Black Sea area. Where's the demand going to come from? We need to see a lower dollar, which doesn't look like that's on the horizon anytime soon. So that and, you know, pretty good harvest. We've got the harvest really rolling now. We're going to be finishing it up here in the next couple of weeks. There is some evidence in South Dakota that some of the winter kill areas that we worried about earlier in the year, there has been some damage there. But when you look at the world carryouts in wheat, blooming up to the numbers they're at, 220 million metric tons, you've got a lot of wheat around the world and not a lot of demand.
And that's going to create some headaches, especially for these farmers that are just now getting through harvest, in some cases with a troubled crop or at least lower than expected yields. How do you market? And nobody says try to catch a falling knife, but right, that's what this wheat market is doing. How do you handle it?
Well, you handle it by, in one way, is to look at the funds. When the funds get in there and go from short to long and they give you a selling opportunity there, for whatever reasons, it's a good opportunity to sell some grain. And we saw that, you know, in the last 4 weeks. So we always like to be very proactive when the funds move from short to long, as they've done in corn, wheat, and beans. That generates a good selling opportunity. We certainly want to take advantage of that.
Because then we see the opposite when they move from long to short.
And that's where they're going right now.
Today. And now let's jump down into the corn market. Let's talk this old crop corn first. We saw a lot of farmers selling here 3 weeks, a month ago when we began this rally. But there's still a lot of corn in the countryside, Mark. We're 50 cents, 60 cents off the high of the rally. How do growers handle it going forward? Do you think there's another bump here in this market to make some sales?
There may be. One of the things that I watch very closely is the June 30th closes after we get the acreage numbers. And after the June 30th report, the corn immediately rallied, and it was a significant rally. At the same time, wheat and soybeans were breaking. Now we've got the corn under that June 30th close as of a week ago, and just since then, we've broken the corn market 35, 40 cents. So now that we've got corn, wheat, and beans all under those June 30th numbers, it tells me that there's a lot more risk out here. Now, the good news is that we have the August 12th report coming up, and we're going to get the resurvey of acres. That may be friendly enough to get a bump primarily in the beans, but that may drag corn and wheat with it. And if we do get that opportunity, we want to be all over it because there's an awful lot of grain out here.
Okay. Well, now I want to get your thoughts a little more deeply on that August report here in 2 weeks from Philip Shaw sent us in a question on Twitter. We encourage all of you to look us up on Twitter and Facebook. We'd love to take your questions. Philip's question is the corn crop made, as we talk about new corn, what futures price level can we expect off the USDA report in August? What are you anticipating?
Well, is the corn crop made is the first question. And we've gotten through pretty much July here. And we've had mild temperatures, 80 degree temps. We've had plenty of rain. The question is how much corn was damaged and didn't get planted. How much corn got flooded out, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, parts of Iowa, certainly parts of Ohio, Missouri. We've had a lot of problems out there. Now, it appears as though the crop scouts that have been going around have been saying, yeah, there's some damage out there, but this almost perfect weather that we've seen in the bulk of July has helped that crop. Where final yield's going to be, I don't know. Is the corn crop made? No, we obviously still have to get through a potential early frost, which we don't see, but that could certainly affect it. Hail, storms, all kinds of things can affect this crop. But for the bulk of it, I would say, you know, corn's made in July. We had a great July. We've done a lot to help stabilize these yields.
All right. Going to have a better chance to market some new crop corn after that August report, do you think?
I'm hoping right around that report we can see a bump, and that may be a great marketing opportunity for guys because it could be a very long fall.
All right. Well, let's talk soybeans. This has been the market that it's been really tough to watch from a producer's perspective, especially in those states you mentioned where there's not a lot of beans in the ground. Yeah. Closed under $10 here on Friday. Where are we headed next week, Mark? Does this sell-off continue?
I believe it does. I'm not sure what's going to stop it. We've had a little bit of Chinese demand in this market the last week, but again, we're down so significantly from a year ago exports. And the Argentinians still have grain to sell. The Brazilians are still in the market. The competition has been intense. So we've got a problem in the bean market. The last time I was on this show, we talked about buying calls on June 1st. They had a nice run in corn, wheat, and beans, and we were able to take advantage of that. The funds were short. They've gone from short to long in all three commodities. Now I think they're probably pretty close back to even in the wheat and even in the beans. But if they want to get short in this next week or so, we can still see lower prices. Again, it may give us an opportunity again on the downside before the report, maybe get a bump after the report. So that I believe the key in these markets right now is you've got to take advantage when we get an upswing in this market because there's still an awful lot of downside risk. But we have had a great opportunity here in the last 6 weeks to get something done. I hope guys took advantage of that.
Now, with the resurvey of acres, Kansas, Missouri, and Arkansas, is Top Third anticipating any large changes in the acreage number, or what are you thinking?
Well, I believe we're going to lose some acres. There's no question about it. I've been through Missouri. I've been through southern Illinois, Indiana. There's some problems out there, and there's no question we'll lose some acres. The question is, some of those corn acres that maybe got a little late, did that go into beans up north where it's been good and they've had tremendous crops? We don't know that. That's what this report's going to tell us. I think when it's all said and done, we have lost acres. I'd be somewhere between 1 million and 1.5 million acres.
Okay. All right. Well, now let's jump down into the livestock markets. We saw just a broad sell-off here on the cattle side. Live cattle continue their downward trend. Any thoughts on the bottom of that market?
Boy, it's a tough one. We've taken out some key technical areas in this cattle market, both fats and feeders. We've seen the cattle on feed report pretty bearish. First time since 2006, I think it was, that we actually saw the cattle herd increase. So this is a shift in that supply picture on the cattle. We're still at historically very high prices, and there's still an incredible amount of risk out here. And guys will think, well, maybe the feeders can go back to 190 in that area. Maybe the fats can go down to 125 somewhere in that area. I believe the risk may be considerably more than that. So we're still at high historical levels. We've seen this fundamental shift now in the supply. We know demand has been tight, and we know demand with the stock market breaking 500-600 points in just a week is a little iffy out here. We've seen the wholesale beef prices come down. This is a time, guys, where you're still at relatively high prices that you need to be protecting the downside with some put options. Spend that money and protect the downside.
How far out would you like to see producers protecting that downside? Because we're historically high all the way through 2016 on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe the biggest movement will come sometime December, February time frame. It's not that we'll price everything in by then, but I don't think you have to go out farther than that on the options. If you go out to December, January feeder cattle options, fat cattle options, I think that'll be enough time to catch a pretty good break in here if it's coming. Now, if it doesn't come, okay, guys are going to lose $3.50 on their fat cattle puts. They'll lose $5 on their feeder puts. But maybe we get, a $20, $25 rally. Who knows? But in the meantime, I still believe there's an awful lot of risk, and the game is changing out here.
And, you mentioned feeder cattle at 190. We closed at 209.
Yeah.
We're only 19 points away from that.
Yeah.
Throw us your downside, Mark. Feeder cattle, how low do you see it?
I wish I could say 190 was the low. And I think one of the things that you need to do is look back at other similar markets. And 2 years ago, cotton got up to that 225, 230 mark. And people thought, well, maybe 190, maybe 150. Well, cotton went to 57 cents. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not suggesting that feeder cattle are on their way down there, but I am suggesting the risk is generally much greater than most people would think it is. And that's why we want to get, even at these points, even on a break, to get aggressive buying some puts out here to protect this downside.
Okay. Mark, we don't have a lot of time left, but let's talk the pork market. Up $2, the counter trend here in the animal meats. Have we reached the top? Do you think there's still some room to run here in the pork market?
No, I think guys might be selling cattle and feeder cattle and buying some hogs. We've got relatively cheap hog prices out here. It'll be tough for the hogs to rally, though, if the cattle continue to move lower. But we've seen some big options traders. October hogs one day during the week got a limit up. They had seen a big short option play. Guys came in to buy that. To try to cover that. So, I believe there's some relative firmness in this hog market left, mainly because we've already had the hard break, and I think guys will buy hogs against the beef.
And you see that firmness extending out through the end of the year? Is there some legs under
it? I don't know about through the end of the year, but certainly through into the fall.
All right. Well, Mark Gold, thanks for all your insight.
Thank you very much.
That wraps up this edition of Market to Market. But Mark and I will continue our discussion and answer some of your questions in our Market Plus segment, only available on our website. You'll also find audio podcasts as well as streaming video of our program exclusively at that Market to Market website. Plus, if you want to interact with us, check out the links to our Twitter and Facebook feeds. And join us again when we'll explore how an international nuclear deal could affect U.S. farmers. So until next time, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.
Market to Market is a production of Iowa Public Television, which is solely responsible for its content. Funding for Market to Market is provided by Grinnell Mutual. You think differently about a customer when you stand in the middle of his dreams. We work to make sure you get covered right. Grinnell Mutual, a policy of working together. Information on finding an agent near you is available at grinnellmutual.com. And by Sukup Manufacturing Company, offering a full line of grain drying and storage equipment and steel buildings. Sukup Manufacturing is on a mission to protect and preserve your crop and the tools that produce it.